Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I just came back from Morocco yesterday, and what an adventure. Like, I'm thinking about everything that's happened, and I'll get into that. But there were so many close calls, so many, oh, if this had happened the next day kind of thing. Like, three times. For example, I don't know if you saw, but on the news, there was a train derailment in Spain. I took that train one day before, the same route, the same fast train, and had that been delayed a day or something, you know, when I took that train, I would have been on it. In Morocco, when I left Morocco, there was a storm coming and we had to catch the ferry. Had that been delayed a day, I would have been stuck in Morocco for extra days, or I would have had to fly versus take the ferry. When I flew from Europe to the US, when I booked the flights, there were some flights from Spain to the East Coast, you know, Spain to New York, Spain to Chicago, and from there to LA. And I'm thinking, this time of year, no, you know, because Chicago is always bad with snow, especially this time of year. So I saw this flight from Germany to LA direct, and I booked that. So I flew from Spain to Frankfurt, from Frankfurt to LA. Instead of flying over the East Coast, it flew directly from Germany over Greenland, over Canada, into California. Great that I did that, because so many cancellations, over 12,000 flight cancellations because of the weather on the East Coast. So I'm sitting here, right? I got back yesterday, and I'm so thankful for all these missed horrible things, right? And I really feel lucky, and I feel like, okay, I'm being looked out for. You know, obviously anytime something bad can happen, right? I was on the bus to Madrid in Spain, and I was eating something. It was like a cinnamon torta, you know, like a little snack. And my filling came out, and I'm like, no. So I made an appointment on the bus because I had Wi-Fi. And on the bus, I made an appointment in LA, close to where I live now, to go to the dentist. I've never been to this dentist before. I'm going today to have the tooth checked out. But my filling came out, and my tooth is sensitive. But after every meal, I brushed. You know, so that's like the one bad thing, okay? But I didn't lose my life. I didn't get delayed because of any weather. I feel pretty lucky about that, you know? So thank goodness. So let me talk about this trip. Morocco is another world. It's another world, and I've been wanting to go there for the longest time. During COVID, I actually planned to go to Morocco. I was in Switzerland, and from Switzerland, after, this was like my plan, after I worked at the chocolate factory, I wanted to travel. You know, it's only supposed to be at the chocolate factory for 3 months, I think, like 3 months, something like that. And after that time, I wanted to take an extra month off to travel. So from Switzerland, I wanted to fly to Greece, from Greece over, I think it was Denmark, and then from Denmark over to Spain, and from Spain to Morocco. None of that happened, obviously, but I had the best intentions, and then COVID happened. That's why it didn't happen, you know, and life took a different turn. Everything changed for everybody. Morocco has been on my list. It's something I've wanted to do, and it's one of those adventure trips. I mean, I think you could go there on a luxury side because there are a lot of like luxury hotels, but this trip was not that. Okay, first of all, in Morocco, it's cheaper. You know, so roughly about 10 Moroccan dirham is $1. You know, so 300 Moroccan dirham is $30. Even though the dollar has gone down, so it's a little bit less, and the euro has gone up, but that's like a good way to calculate it. I exchanged money before I left. I also exchanged euros, but I completely forgot that I didn't pick them up at the bank. Great. You know, good thing credit cards work. So I actually have to pick up the euros today from the bank. It's just sitting in the bank. I'm sure I'll go to Europe again. You know, having extra euros doesn't hurt. So anyway, I was so busy, like right up until the day that I left, even that night, I was packing. And then I realized I only had 4 hours left to sleep because I had to wake up early the next morning, take the bus over to, it's called Van Nuys Flyaway. I live in the valley in LA. The Flyaway, it's like a bus, a coach, and it takes you to LAX for $25, which is a really good deal. The thing is, I have to get over to this Flyaway place, which by bus takes about 40 minutes from where I live. If I drive, about 10 minutes, but then you got to deal with parking and all this. So anyway, I set an alarm for 4 a.m. I went to bed till like midnight, but I got everything packed. I took the bus and it took me 40 minutes to get to this Van Nuys Flyaway. Okay, but no problem. It was very early, so no issues. I took the bus, arrived at LAX, checked in, no issues. I got to the airport, decided to have a breakfast burrito. You know, it's still very early, but I needed something for the flight. I had to use the bathroom, like, you know, all the usual things, okay? I sit on the toilet, and you know, I think from a woman's perspective or a men's perspective, I mean, I'm not a man, but people generally think that women are like clean using the restroom, right? Like that's like the general thought. I'm sitting on the toilet. The luggage is like in front of me, right? At the airport. And all of a sudden I hear this kind of like waterfall next to me, but it wasn't a waterfall. It was another woman peeing. And I swear, like half her pee landed on the floor. Like I'm seeing this spray arriving on this floor and I move my bags, right? Because in the US, you have quite a fair amount of space in between in the restrooms. You know, like there's not solid walls, right? Like in Europe, there's pure privacy. In the US, it's like half open, right? So I'm seeing this like pee on the floor and I'm like, what is happening? Like, I don't understand how some people pee. You know, like you arrive in the restroom and they're just, I guess, hovering and everything is dirty. It's like, just sit down. So anyway, I started off with that and I'm thinking, how are people peeing so weird? And yeah, I know, a different topic. People don't really talk about other people peeing, right? But this is my podcast. I can talk about what I want. And it bothered me, so I'm telling you about it. Point is, people are nasty. That's man or woman, people are nasty, okay? I try and be respectful when I go to the bathroom, right, in a public bathroom. But in most cases, I have to clean up before I'm able to sit down. It's like, what are people doing? All right, so I get on the plane. This plane is flying to Newark, New Jersey. You know, so this is a national flight. You didn't get food, right? Like when you fly within the US, you just get like pretzels, like a pretzel snack. So I got that and I'm glad I had my breakfast burrito. Flight was great. I sat by the window. You know, I love the window seat when it's less than like 5 hours. When it's international, I have to fly in the aisle just because I hate getting up or what if the person's sleeping? I gotta wake them up to pee. It's a thing. As a woman, and I don't think it's just me, right? But as a woman, I have to think about the next time I'm gonna pee. That's just my brain. This is what's happening, right? I want it to be convenient. I want it to be solid. So this is my mind track. This is what I think about because I don't like to pee in the air, right? But I have to, all right? When you're flying internationally, I have to pee at some point because I drink a lot of water. So that's why I have to sit in the aisle. And I don't think it's just me. So we flew across Utah. We flew across Arizona. We flew across Glenwood Springs. I totally saw Glenwood Springs, which is the main town coming down from Aspen. You know, so we're flying across from LA over, right? Like I see Arizona, I see where I've been as far as Monument Valley, like I see the desert, Grand Canyon, and then we're in Colorado, like snow. I totally saw that road that I drove on. when I had to drive to Grand Junction and had to get there a couple times, when I had to go to that dentist. Anyway, I saw that road, like it was that clear. And it was just kind of like, wow, all these events have happened. I've lived in these places, I've driven in these places, and now I'm flying across. It was like a slow memory of parts of my life, you know? And it was kind of cool flying over that because it was so clear. And then I thought about these moments, right, when I lived with my mom in Arizona, when I drove through the desert, when I visited the Four Corners for this wine dessert thing, where I made the dessert, when I lived in Aspen and worked at the hotel, when I left Aspen and we moved to San Diego and took that same road back through Grand Junction in a U-Haul with my car on the back. All these things. And now my life is completely different even from then. Like, so much has happened in just the last 2 years. Crazy. And it's so, like, so much change all the time. I'm fine if things don't change. I don't need all this change. What I want, I just want, like, a stable place, right? A stable home. And then just go on trips. That's all I want. Like, is that too much to ask? I don't know. But within that, I traveled to Morocco. And that's pretty exciting. So then we flew over Ohio. I saw a lot of snow and I felt so thankful that I wasn't in that snow, that we could just fly over it. And then we arrived in Newark and I saw Manhattan at nighttime, like basically the whole day we've been flying, right? And there it's 3 hours ahead. So by the time I land, it's nighttime. And then I see the lights in New York and I remember living there. And, you know, I know that night skyline, you know, because I used to live right by this parking spot where I would see it if I wanted to just see New York at night or by day. The nice thing was the middle seat was available, so there was nobody next to me and I went by the window. It was nice. I could just see everything and enjoyed it. The thing is, though, when I'm traveling, when I'm flying, I hate peeing on the airline, like on the plane. Just the movement of the plane, it just, I don't know, it makes me not want to pee, but I have to pee really bad, you know, so I have to like concentrate on peeing. I bet you never thought you wanted to know this about my peeing, and I'm sure you don't want to know, but I'm talking about it because flying and peeing, I hate, like it sucks for me. But the plane's changed. So with this plane that I was on, it didn't have any shades. The bathroom was in the middle, not the back of the plane, right? So instead of having a window shade, right, that you push down, on the bottom of the window, there's a button. And you press the button and it goes really dark. Or if you want to look out of it, it's light, you know? So that was kind of cool, like a couple changes. So I'm on the next flight. This flight goes directly to Spain, to Madrid. I'm seeing a lot of Spanish people on this plane. Spanish people are different from Spain than Mexican people. You know, I live in Southern California, lived in Arizona. Mostly the Spanish I've dealt with has been with Mexicans. No issues, great. You know, different Spanish also, right? So now I'm flying to Spain and the men look very different. Like they're tall. They're tall, their Spanish is different. Instead of maybe saying trabajo, they're saying, okay, I don't know what they're saying, but it's different. I was trying to like have a comparison, but the Spanish is different. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what I'm hearing because I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I noticed their Spanish was different. So I flew with United. On United, you get hot food. Every time you fly internationally, you get a hot meal, usually two. You know, so from New York to Madrid, I think it was 8 hours. It was like about 8 hours. Maybe less, I want to say 7.5, something like that. But everything felt like it was a long flight because I had just flown across the country, you know, so that's like 4.5 hours. But I get a hot meal. It's like some mashed potato mushroom thing with chicken. I think it was pretty good. It was a little salty, but I'm like, okay, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat it. There was a salad. There was a brownie for dessert, you know, so whenever you fly to another country, you get food from that country, right? So I was flying to Europe from the U.S., so I got U.S. food, right? When I flew from Madrid to L.A., I got food made in Germany. Very different, very different. Okay, so I watched this movie, and it was called Dead of Winter. It was with Emma Thompson, and it was actually really good. It's about, like, a kidnapping, and she tries to save this woman. She goes to a lake that her husband had memories at. Anyway, the movie was really good. It was more than a suspense movie. It actually had a lot of... It was touching. Like, it had a lot of heart because Emma Thompson was reflecting on her marriage and her memories, you know, that had to do with this lake. So it always cut to her life. And it was a really good movie. But I got tired and cold on the plane. I feel like whenever you fly to Europe, it's just so cold on the plane. So I covered up with my jacket. I covered up my face and I was able to sleep a little. And I'm always watching people on the plane. Like, there's always some weird people. There's always weird people. So I'm always people watching. And then I wake up. We had another meal. It was like a panini sandwich. It wasn't so great. You know, it's like the food on the plane doesn't make you feel good. You're just hungry, right? But it was like kind of a panini with like fake meat. Like, I took that off and cheese. But I landed in Madrid and I wasn't hungry, but I felt weird because I didn't really sleep. I ate weird food. And just those two things like messed me up, right? Like, flying and traveling is not easy on the body. You know, I love to travel, but it takes a lot, right? And even when you get back, it messes up your whole, like, system, right? You're eating different foods, you're changing time, and then your body has to get used to your regular life again. So my whole trip took about 12 and a half hours in the air, right? Not including waiting time. So I arrive in Madrid, it's very foggy, like, it's very Europe. This is what I know Europe to be, unless it's in the summer. I thought Spain would be different, but I guess not this time of year. Basically, I flew from the sunniest place, California, LA. I flew into bad weather, right? Because it's winter, it's January. But when you live in a sunny place, you don't really think too much about the weather other places. At least I didn't. The flight was smooth, no issues. Got to Madrid, got my bag. By the way, anytime you're abroad and you see a person in pajamas, walking in pajamas at the airport, they're American. Fact. So I saw that. I knew he was American right away. I had Wi-Fi in the airport. So I contacted my friend that I was traveling with. And this is my brother's ex, right? They were together for over 11 years, a long time. And she became part of the family. So it was nice. Like, she has her own company. She's self-employed. And she likes to travel, right? We're both Geminis, like 4 days difference in birthday. I thought, okay, like, we'll get along. Like, I think this will be good. So I get to the airport and I realize she's in a different terminal. So I leave the terminal and I'm seeing, like, Spanish men, very tall, looking different. Like, I feel like they look attractive. But as I'm walking through, I see, like, little cafes in the airport, a lot of Serrano ham everywhere, like, good quality meat, all these sandwiches, like, things that I know from Europe. You know, things that you don't really see here. Not like that. Not like that. Like, there they stack all the sandwiches and it just looks very appetizing. Like, it looks really good. So anyway, I walk out of the terminal. I see my friend and we meet up. I hadn't seen her in, I guess, almost a year, right? Kind of a year when she came to visit in San Diego when I lived there. And, you know, so much has changed for both of us last year that I thought, okay, this could be kind of cool, right, to travel with somebody because my friends weren't available. Everyone's busy all the time. And it's kind of a weird time to travel, but I wanted to travel because my baking class starts in February. right? And then pretty much till the summer. So I meet my friend and we go, like, I'm super tired. I'm not really good company after traveling long distances. I just need to sleep, okay, at this point. So we get to this hotel close to the airport. It didn't feel that close because it was driving to other terminals. It was a shuttle to pick up other people. But there was nobody else. You know what I noticed in Europe? People are less helpful. For instance, this shuttle driver just opened the back. He didn't grab the bags. Like, we had to put in the bags. We had to take them out. Like, everyone's doing less work for more money. But I noticed that in Europe, you know, people try less. Like, versus in the U.S., I feel like people are more helpful. Like, maybe that's just me, but I was getting those vibes. It was called Ibis Hotels, I-B-I-S, where we stayed, the hotel. And it was a small room. It had twin beds, but the beds were very comfy. It had a rain shower, which is something I noticed pretty much in every hotel that we stayed at. We maybe stayed at like 5 different hotels, a good amount of hotels, and they all had rain showers. Really nice. It was about to turn evening. Like, I think there it was maybe 4 p.m., something like that, when we finally got to the hotel. We both slept. We, like, napped for about 2 hours. Like, I took a shower. I woke up. I felt so much better. And then we decided to go to a chicken restaurant called Le Coq. Yeah, it was, it's spelled C-O-Q, all right? And that's chicken in French, just so you know. So we had roasted chicken with vegetables and coleslaw. On this Amazon salad, it had raisins, pineapple, walnuts, ricotta cheese. Also, good thing I write all this stuff down, because so much happened on this trip. I don't remember that I had an Amazon salad, but good thing I wrote it down. It was really good, though. We had a good meal. We went to a grocery store. Like, I love going to grocery stores abroad. Anytime I travel, I want to go to a grocery store because it's just different. But there were a lot of products from France, you know, typical European products. The only things I noticed that were different, there was a lot of ham, good quality for a cheap price. A lot of cheese, again, good quality for a cheap price because it's made there, right? Especially the Serrano ham. It's all from there. So in the grocery store, a regular grocery store, you had all these high quality legs in the meat window. Because what they do is they carve very thin slices off of the leg, right off of the leg. You know, the leg just hangs there and it's kept for however long, right? So you have, I don't know, 20 legs hanging. Some are wrapped and then some are different qualities. But this is just a regular grocery store, you know? Like, can you imagine that here? I feel like I haven't even seen that. So we decided, okay, let's snack on a couple things. So we got some wine, we got olives, we got some ham, some cheese, even though we just ate, right? But I'm thinking, yeah, this is great. There I noticed the fruits, the vegetables were bigger. Usually the stuff grows in Spain, right? Because that's the sunniest in Europe, like the Mediterranean. We went through each aisle. I got cinnamon tortas. So they're these like crunchy, round, I don't know, crunchy, round, hard bread, right? But it's thin and crispy, and they put like a cinnamon sugar on it, and those were really good. I thought this will be good for like snack food. I got crema catalana, which is basically a flan custard without the caramel. So I tried that. We got some brie cheese, which is my favorite. It's a French brand called Caprice de Dieu, and it's only in Europe. So I saw that. It's a blue packaging, blue and white with angels on it. So I saw the angels and I'm like, yes, I'm getting that and basically eating it. We got crackers. We got Rioja wine. Wait, did I just say crackers? Crackers. Crackers. We got crackers. We got a couple slices of Serrano ham. Anyway, so we went back. We walked back to the hotel and just enjoyed our snacks. And then we went to bed. I slept another 8 hours. And then I'm like, oh, I'm alive. Like, I feel great. Next day, we go get breakfast. Like, we start off strong with food. because I'm like in another country. I'm excited, right? So I prepaid for the breakfast, and it was this beautiful buffet. Really nice. Like, it wasn't included, but it was really good quality. Fresh fruits. They had different styles of eggs, all these different fruits, different spreads, olives, different breads, different juices. You know, it was like nice. I love breakfast, so it was exciting to eat. And I like to eat. They had this potato egg bake. They had serrano ham. They had manchego. Beautiful bread station, steamed veggies. They had a muesli section. And then we got an Uber. Like, we packed everything. We got an Uber to the train station, which is in Madrid. It took about 30 minutes. We went to the center of Madrid. We really didn't see much of Madrid, and it was raining. And that morning, it was like a rain, snow, like a sleet. And we're like, great. Like, the weather's not good. And from there, we got on the fast train. We get down in the station. Everything's smooth. We stand in line. And we get on the fast train. We take the fast train to Malaga. And we basically drive through the center of the country. And Malaga is on the coast, the south of Spain. And when I was in LA from work, people were sick. Like, everyone was sick. And I'm like, great. Like, this is the worst time. Everyone's sick. Okay, so I started taking antibiotics for a few days when I was still in LA. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, I feel good. Like, I'm not sick. And then I wake up in Spain and I'm like coughing. And I'm like, no. Like, I hope this is not turning into anything. Oh, we had to go through security. There's a security in the train station. And I took a butter knife, like, from the hotel, because I'm like, oh, what if we eat cheese? Like, on the way, we need something to cut it. It was just a butter knife. And because I went through security, right, I went through like the x-ray, and they saw this butter knife and they took it away from me. I couldn't take it with me. But I guess, I mean, if a butter knife is a weapon, I mean, isn't anything a weapon really? Like, it's not really, it's not pointy, it's not sharp. We took the train to Malaga, everything was clean. It went over 200 kilometers per hour. You know, and this is the train that the next day, when we got to Malaga, like, the next day I saw breaking news, a train derailed. It was the exact same train. And I looked at my friend and we looked at each other thinking, wow, like, what a difference a day makes. When we were on the train from Madrid to Malaga, it was very cloudy, you know, rainy. We get to Malaga and it's sunny. Like, it was beautiful. Like, sun makes such a big difference. We get to the Malaga train station and we get to the hotel. The hotel was maybe like an 8-minute walk. Like, it's sunny, it's warm. Now I have too many layers on. And Malaga is a really pretty city. It's clean. I could see how it's very heavy and touristy in the summer, but it was perfect. Like, we relaxed at the hotel, and at the hotel, okay, so this is the plan. We get to Malaga. From Malaga, we end up taking a ferry across to Morocco. Okay, so this is like the next day. But after Morocco, we come back to Spain for a couple days. So we decided to book a day trip, and it's called Caminito del Rey. And basically, you're walking along these paths on the side of rocks that is built in a canyon, in a gorge. And at the very bottom, there's a river, and it's part of a reservoir aqueduct system. Very interesting. But we booked that because we thought, okay, when we come back to Spain, we'll do that. And then right after that, on the same day, we booked a hammam, which is basically a spa, but Moroccan style. We didn't get to go to one in Morocco, but we booked this in advance because Malaga had some Moroccan features, you know, since we're not that far from Morocco being in Malaga. But we decided to book a hammam in Spain. We booked a massage, an hour massage, and 90 minutes in different baths, right? Different temperature baths. So that happened. It was more expensive than it would have been in Morocco. But the thing is, in Morocco, we had all these guides. We really didn't have time off. And the thing is, these spas and these trips, they sell out. you know, so this was a few days in advance. So we thought, okay, when we come back, we'll do that. It won't be sold out. And then we decided to walk around the city center. I got this empanada with spinach and cheese. I got a matcha pumpkin latte. We found the Malaga Cathedral. And this is what I love about walking through the streets and city centers of older cities in Europe. For example, in Italy and different parts of Spain, you've got these old, old, ornate buildings, typically cathedrals. Anyway, the cool thing is, as you walk through the streets, all of a sudden you see the beginning of this grandiose building, but you don't see it all because there's these alleyways. You know, it's not like it is in the US where everything's these giant streets. These are older cities, so everything's kind of like a maze. You know, so you start walking down this alley and you see the beginnings of this grandiose building. You walk towards it, and then all of a sudden it reveals itself. You know, the alley opens and you're just amazed. And I love that. I looked at bakeries. We walked to the bay, which is beautiful with all these shops, and it leads you to the beach. And we saw the sunset on the beach. There were all these palm trees. For dinner, we ate tapas at this bay outdoors with outdoor heaters. So tapas just means small plates. So I ordered four different things, and they have one or two items on each plate. I had this fried cod. I had croquetas, which are very soft and tender, and they usually has a beef potato filling. It was really tasty. I had involtini, which is wrapped eggplant filled like with a ricotta type cheese in tomato sauce. Like, it was very tasty. I also had a shrimp taco with guacamole. And then from there, we walked back to the hotel. We passed this castle. It's on the top of a hill overlooking Malaga. And there's just beautiful history. Like, Malaga is a beautiful city. And I had no idea. I'd never been to Spain before. This was my first time. We get back to the hotel. And that was the first night kind of with jet lag. I had trouble falling asleep. You know, it takes me a few days to get used to everything. But we had to get up at 5 a.m. the next morning. I had to pack and everything and be downstairs because a guide was picking us up from the hotel on the coach to the ferry to get the ferry to Morocco. So this was about a 2.5 hour drive on the bus. So you drive down, and the city is called Tarifa. It's in Spain, but it has a large Moroccan influence. It looks a little less Spanish, but it's a ferry town, and cars can drive onto this ferry. It's quite a big ferry, and it only takes an hour to get across, but it's one of the main modes of transportation to get to Morocco. So it's a typical thing. I don't know how many times a day it goes. I don't think too many, maybe two times a day, could be more. But we got the bus to Tarifa, and everyone on the bus was a tourist. We had a guide, and he arranged the tickets. We pre-ordered everything with this tour company, and the tour company reached out to this Moroccan tour company. You know, so everything was arranged. So they had the whole itinerary, and obviously I was with my friend. So we had already paid for everything, and all you do is basically follow these guides. Like, you trust they say they are who they say they are. Like, in this day and age, that's a lot of trust. But the bus basically goes down to the Strait of Gibraltar, which is right on the closest point to Morocco. So we get on this ferry, you walk onto this ramp, and there's cars driving on at the same time. You've got your suitcase and everything. You put your suitcase in this like little baggage area, then you walk upstairs and you're in the ferry, and there's all these seats. There's a little bit of duty-free shopping, but mainly just seats. You have to show your passports, like, a bunch, even just to get on the ferry. You have to go through this whole bag check, show your passports like three times, a lot. Luckily, I have my German passport, no issue, right? Like, it's good to be European when you're doing this because it's a bit more of a hassle if I were to use my American passport because you need a visa to get to Morocco and all these different things. Right, so showing your German passport, no issue. So we get to the other side and we arrive in Tangier. And just like being on this side, everything is different, right? Like, you have show your passport, you get stamped in your passport, Moroccan, like Tangier stamp. The police checks boarding pass. Then we're in Tangier. Just the buildings look different. Like, everything was white, like kind of square looking, old. Everything looked historic, let's put it that way. Already when we get off the port, there's a lot of stray dogs and cats. The women are covered, like not fully covered. Some are, but, you know, they mainly have like a scarf over their head. You don't see their hair, but the women there are dressed very nicely. It's like anywhere in the world, right? Women have to try. And the men just wear these caftans, which look like dressing robes. And that's their traditional clothing. But it's odd when every man is wearing this. It's comfortable for them, you know. But these women are looking beautiful. They've got like matching outfits. Their nails are done. Their scarves match. Typically, their clothes are long, you know, but they're straight cut, like not fitted. But they look really pretty, you know, beautiful eyes, perfect makeup. And then you see these men wearing this caftan, like a dressing robe, basically. And they're good to go. Like, that's it. Everywhere in the world, I feel like, right? Like, it's good to be a man. You don't even have to try. We walk across and we have a guide. His name is Ramsey. There's different guides for different tourists based on their trip and what they've booked. Okay, so my friend and I, we booked a trip in the north of Morocco, kind of the mountainous areas. So it was hard to find a trip that covered everything for the time that we booked. We were there for 5 days, like 5 nights, 6 days, 6 days, something like that. Had we booked like a 10-day tour, we could have done everything where I wanted to go. But I didn't have that much time off, and you had to combine it with Spain. We could have flown to Morocco directly, but the flight there took forever. Like, it was just a very inconvenient route. I had to stop twice from the US. So I thought, okay, I'll fly into Europe and this way I'll get to see Spain too. You know, so it worked out. But because of that, we couldn't get to see everything that I thought I wanted to see in Morocco, right? So the places that we visited, we started out in Tangier. Next day from Tangier, we made our way to Fez, which is one of the oldest cities with the oldest city centers called Medinas. And from Fez, we went to Meknes, which is kind of like, we didn't stay there, we just drove through. From Meknes, we went to Chefchaouen, which I feel like I'm saying that wrong, but it's the blue city. It's a small town in the mountains where everything is painted blue and looks beautiful. And from there, we went to Tetouan. And these are all northern cities in the mountains. It's very green. And from Tetouan, we went back to Tangier. So kind of like a small circle. We traveled with another person from Argentina. And instead of her going with us to the blue city and Tetouan, she went down to Casablanca and over to Marrakesh. So I didn't get to go to Casablanca. But Casablanca has one of the only mosques for tourists. All the other mosques, you know, no tourists can go to, only Muslims. So Casablanca has that going for it, but we didn't get to go there. And we also didn't get to Marrakesh, one of the biggest markets, you know, but I've heard it's very touristy. And we went to mainly small towns, but it was pretty cool, you know. I guess I'll have to go back to Morocco at some point because I would love to see the desert. When you're in Morocco, it's another world. Like, everything is different, okay? First of all, it's a Muslim country, so they pray 5 times a day. They have speakers throughout the cities where they call everyone to prayer. You don't have to pray the moments when they call out, but, you know, it's good to pray when you can. People travel with a small rug that they sit on when they pray, like they kind of lean forward on, right? Bow down on. Men there are like, men have a say there, right? It's one of the most modern Islamic cities, Muslim cities in the Islamic world. Morocco because it's so close to Europe, you know, but it is more modern in the sense that women get to do what men get to do, right? Even though when they go to pray, men are in a different place than women are, because supposedly men get distracted, right? This is what a guide said. Men get distracted very easily in Morocco, right? Traveling with a group of three women and not covering our heads, right? Like our hair was open and that drew attention. We were always traveling with a guide. So I think that kept things very civilized, and the guide was a man. Had it just been the three of us, I think it would have been a bit different. Men there get to have four wives maximum if they want to. I heard this is mostly if they have more money, right? Like for them in their culture, because they provide for the women, they provide for the children. The guides and people we traveled with, they were single. Some of them had had one wife. A lot of men have two wives, but you can have up to four wives. Okay, so there's a king of Morocco. He rules. He's not just the face of Morocco, right? He actually has a say, and the king puts in place like a prime minister. Okay, but ultimately the king has the final say. So there's all these palaces in every city in Morocco, like every major city, so that the king can travel no problem. And these are all ancient palaces, right? Like they're full-on palaces. Usually the city center is right next to this palace. The palace is surrounded by crazy huge walls. Okay, some of these palaces are very active and some of them are not. They've been changed into museums. So we start off, we get to Tangier and we have our guide and he's showing us around Tangier, like the highlight points. It's very hilly. It's right next to the ocean. The ocean is the Strait of Gibraltar, which is this beautiful, like the color of the ocean is beautiful, very light blue. Tangier is very green. And you can tell there's richer parts, poorer parts, but it's a very international cities. Like you have like some kind of skyscraper type buildings that are taller. You have the Jewish part of the city. You have the French part of the city. And the French part of the city actually looks like buildings in France. You've got the Spanish part of the city. You know, so as you're driving around, you see the shops with French writing, or you see the shops with Spanish writing. So it's very international in the sense of a lot of different languages. So most people there, they speak some English or mostly Spanish, some French. You know, so it's very mixed. They learn French in school. They deal with a lot of Spanish people, you know, being right next to Spain. The guide took us to this grotto. It's called Hercules Grotto. And there's a cave, basically, where the water comes in from the ocean. And over time, on the inside, just these cave walls have been changed, you know, and it's this like historic area. And you can go and walk through there and get pictures taken. So we did that. We had to pay. Luckily, I had changed money in the US because changing money was not the first thing we did there. Like first we did all these touristy things. So good thing I had cash because they don't necessarily take card there. So 70% of Moroccan women work. In Tangier, we saw so many women. Like everyone's working. And even the guide said, all the women are working, but their money goes to their own lifestyle, right? Like if the man works, the man pays for the woman, right? He pays for the rent, he pays for the big bills. And if the woman works, she pays for the things that she wants, like her clothing, her makeup, like her life. And this is from a man's perspective, like a man said this. And I don't know, I'm not Moroccan. Maybe this is the case, but I kind of took it with a grain of salt because a lot of men, when they work, right, they end up using some of the money for drinking or cigarettes or whatever, right? Like in any culture. I know that when women work, their money goes to the family, the kids, right? The guide said, when men work, It goes to the family. It goes to the parents, right? Like, they help the whole family. But what I saw in Morocco was that more women were working than men. I never saw, like, men working. I just saw women working. I went to a McDonald's because I wanted to see how different it was. Like, we had lunch at this typical Moroccan place, right? We had this tagine, which is, it's hard to describe, but it's a clay pot, kind of like a clay plate, okay? And you cook meats in there, and you have to soak it in water, and then you put it directly on the gas flame. You put this lid over it, but the shape of it makes it cook soft, you know, and it's delicious, right? So we had this tagine. I had a chicken tagine. There was a beef tagine. And this whole thing cost maybe like $3, right? So we go to McDonald's later to see what's different in McDonald's. And we had these like cheese bites. And they were the same for these five bites, like deep fried Gouda bites. They were the same as this whole meal of tagine. So McDonald's there is very expensive. All women are working in McDonald's. Like, I did not see a man there. So the guide, he drove us maybe 2 hours around Tangier. And then he took us to the hotel. We were staying at a Hilton. The hotel was beautiful, right? Like a buffet dinner, typical Moroccan food. They had paella, like a strong Spanish influence. And we walked around the streets a little bit. Right next to the Hilton, there was a big mall. The mall was very American. Like, you had KFC, you had Burger King, like, you had all these fast food places. And then just typical shopping that you see all over the world, right? So it's very Western in that sense. Yet the women are dressed differently as far as, like, very nice, right? But you don't see their hair, right? And women tend to be with groups of other women, either with a man, they're with their children, you know, so everybody's out. You've got some of the poor people there. They're begging. We walked to the beach, and the beach was like just down the street from the hotel. Kind of chilly, kind of windy. But on the beach, I don't like their use of animals. They're using animals for money. So there's just straight up horses galloping on the beach. Right? There's these horse owners, and they're just riding on the beach. And they ride to us asking if we want to ride. And we're like, no, no, no. You know, because everything, I mean, costs money. And I don't want to ride a horse on the beach, okay? But that was the night of the African Cup football game. It's this huge African Cup. Soccer there is a big deal. And it's Morocco versus Senegal. Like, Africa is a huge continent, right? Think about all of these countries within Africa. And now, the winner, it's either Morocco or Senegal. So that was the big deal, right? So we're walking around the streets. Everyone has like a Moroccan flag. They've got football t-shirts. It was a huge deal. So we decided, okay, once we have our dinner, we're going to watch the football game, you know, and see. We decided to go to a bar within Hilton, and we sat on these like steps because everything was full. But they weren't scoring for the longest time, you know? And what I noticed, like, in Europe, in Morocco, cigarettes are huge. Like, everybody's smoking, right? So it was very unappealing to me to sit in this bar, you know, just because in the U.S., you're kind of used to not cigarette smoke being everywhere, but it's the opposite in Europe. So we watched the game, and then it turns out that Senegal won, you know? So Morocco lost. People were very upset, even though, like, from our room, I think we were on, like, the, I don't know, 10th floor. We were kind of up high. And all night long, there's honking. And I don't know if it was because of the game or just because, like, there in Morocco, people honk a lot. Like, they're basically just honking to let them know you're there. They're not honking to tell people they did something wrong, right? They're just honking all the time. So I couldn't tell if after the game, it was people honking. Or was it to do with the game? Or was it to do with the traffic? Tangier is very international. You've got the King's Palace, which is this beautiful part of town. It's right on the ocean. It's also the point where the Mediterranean meets the Atlantic Ocean. And along the cliffs, at this point, you could ride a camel. There are all these camels, right? Like an owner has maybe 6 camels and he wants tourists to ride them. And they looked so sad and just laying basically on the side of these cliffs, you know, like on the grassy part. And I just felt sorry for them. Also, it was super windy. You know, I just don't like the use of animals for money like this. It was cool to see the camels there, even though they were taken from the desert. But it was just weird, you know? I never thought I would go to the beach and just see camels. You know, so that first day we saw pretty much Tangier. And then after the football game, we went to bed, like we were so tired. And the bed there was nice. Like Hilton across the world, great beds. No issue with Hilton beds. The room also had a bidet. Okay, so after Japan, when I see bidets, I'm happy, right? Like Japan created that whole new experience for me and I loved it because you were always clean. Like it's good to always be clean, okay? And it just feels nice. You don't need all this hard-ass toilet paper. You just use a bidet, all right? And you clean it off. Everything's clean. So when I saw a bidet, I got excited. It's the small things. It's the small things. So yeah, the Hilton room had a bidet, and it was quite a large room. It had 2 queen beds, so bigger than the rest of the trip, pretty much. And I slept so well. And the next morning, we met with Ramsey, the guide. He picked us up, myself, my friend, and the third person we were traveling with from Argentina. And we all made our way through the villages. It was probably like a 4-hour drive. We stopped in a couple places, but we made our way to Mequinez, which is a small town on the way. There we went to look at a market. It was a very traditional market. Supposedly there were snakes that you could touch by tourists, right, for money. But we were so distracted by these halls of the market that we walked right in that direction. And then we also stopped to Volubilis, which is the furthest part of the Roman Empire in Morocco. And I'm going to get into more of the Morocco trip in the next episode, only because I have a lot more to say and there's never enough time. So until next time, I'll continue with the Morocco trip. Thank you so much. I'm Chef KB.